Acts chapter 27, from the verse number 37 to the end of this chapter.
And we were in all in the ship, 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoised up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land.
This verse number 37 is one of the verses in the scripture, and especially in the book of the Acts of the Holy Apostles, that would be easy to just run over. It's just a plain information that there were 276 men aboard the ship, but the way that Luke is writing, actually the way the Holy Spirit has this recorded for us, could be a reason for us to stop for a moment and just think. There were all together 276 bodies? Well, yes, bodies, but souls. And every soul is unique, very precious. And for every soul, without any exception, there is no other redemption but the atonement of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think this is the language of an evangelist. This is the language of a voice of the gospel, always focusing on that need, the most important need of the human souls, salvation, and always being aware of the fact there is no other name in heaven or under heaven but the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the mankind. Because of the fear of death that lasted for so long, because of that difficult struggle to survive, by this time, the voice of the Apostle Paul was a very well noticed voice, and a voice that everybody is listening to. When Paul is speaking, everybody will pay attention. In the verse number 38, we can see that the people on the ship, that means the sailors and the soldiers and the prisoners, regarded the voice and the suggestion of the Apostle Paul, and they did eat. After they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship by casting out all the food into the sea. Why was it important, or what's the benefit of casting out all the food and having the ship lighter than before? I imagine, I'm not a sailor, I'm not a navigator, I don't know much about sailing on the ocean or over the seas, but I imagine that if the ship is heavier, it will sink deeper into the water, and the high waves would splash more water into the ship, and part of the struggle of keeping the ship afloat would be to cast that water out. And I imagine that all the people there were very busy emptying the ship, just splashing the water with any kind of vessel they could have at that moment, and just spill that water aboard, and at the same time be very careful not to slip into the sea, because the ship is violently jumping left, right, forward, backward. It's just terrible. In the meantime, the night is fading away and the day finally came. The perception of the sailors that they might be close to some land, which the sailors have perceived at around midnight that night, when the day came, it was clear that that perception was realistic, that they really were approaching some kind of a land, whether it's an island or they're coming to the shore. They don't know. The land is unfamiliar. They don't know where they are. So they're going to try to get out safely. In the verse number 39, we see they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship, so the ship would be protected from the waves by the two shores of this creek, I imagine. Next thing they did, they picked up the anchors, they spread the mainsail, and now the wind is pushing the ship toward that creek, toward the shore. Verse number 41 is not quite clear to me. Falling into a place where two seas met, it looks like, or possibly could be, that the creek was bringing sand and sediments into the sea, and that there was a shallow water or a sand hill at the end, at the delta of the creek, that there was a little hill of sand just below the surface of the water, so that the sailors could not see that because of the waves, and the ship just hit into that sand and the front part got stuck, but the rudder was breaking apart because of the force of the wind and the waves. In the verse number 42, we can see again the Roman rules and laws that it was not important what would be the verdict of the Emperor Caesar. All these prisoners are going to be presented before the Caesar to present their case and then get his judgment. But that's not as important as not to allow any prisoner to escape. And if the soldiers would be blamed for any prisoner's escape, it would be a capital punishment. That soldier would lose his own life. This again gives me an impression that the Roman laws and rules did not care much for justice and absolutely not for righteousness. That was something completely foreign to them. The most important purpose of their laws and rules is to preserve the authority of Caesar the Emperor, the authority of the Roman rules. In the verse number 43, we see the special situation here in this case, and that is concerning the Apostle Paul, a special prisoner. I would think that by this time, the centurion, Julius, was fully aware that the Apostle Paul, under no circumstance, would try to escape. That the Apostle Paul firmly believes it is the will of the Almighty God for him, Paul, to appear before Caesar. There could be something much greater than that in the eyes of this centurion, Julius, and that is that Paul the Apostle already had a very strong evangelistic influence upon these people, their minds and their feelings, and also Julius probably had the information concerning Paul and his whole case to be presented to the emperor, and in those documents, I think one of the main parts is the conclusion of the King Agrippa, that this man should have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to the emperor, to Caesar. And with all of that, Julius could have been blamed for the loss of this prisoner almost, I imagine, as much as if any other prisoner would have been escaped. So the centurion commanded that they which could swim, now this is soldiers and sailors, not the prisoners, they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. So before any prisoner will swim to the shore, there will be already the soldiers waiting for him. The rest that are not swimmers, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, anything that can float, they should use those things to somehow reach the shore. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. Well, that's interesting that in this case Luke would be writing they escaped all safe to the land. What about us? What about the Apostle Paul? What about Luke? What about the other disciples that were there? They did not escape. They were delivered. Yes, I believe that they also jumped into the water. They also were either swimming or they were floating on some floats. But they were delivered by the Lord. The rest of the people escaped. There is a difference between Christians and Gentiles or unbelievers. We are always in the hand of the Lord, and they're always under the judgment of God if they do not turn away from their sin and surrender to the mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father. For the moment, they know nothing about the land. They don't know where they are. But very soon, they're going to meet some residents, some inhabitants of that land. Pretty soon, they're going to discover it's an island. And that island is going to become another mission field, another field of evangelistic work for the Apostle Paul and the other disciples, his associates, his companions, his helpers. Considering this experience, we could see that nothing in the human life, nothing in all of this universe happened by chance, by accident, incident. Everything has its own purpose, and everything is under the control of our Lord's power. And these people here are exposed to the gospel, and that fact indicates great goodness and mercy of our Heavenly Father, sending us His beloved Son, the living gospel, the living Word of God, to present to us the Father's face in purity, in holiness, in mercy, in grace, in judgment and justice. Not only these 275 souls from the ship, but also the people living on this island are going to hear the gospel in a new light, with a new power, and they are going to be offered the grace and salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ just by believing, trusting, obeying, turning away from sin and following the Lord Jesus Christ on the path of salvation and truth all the way into heaven.